podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
We got to reset. We laid the foundation, and it's going to be up to Ryan and myself to find those missing pieces, add some depth.
Max strips it! My, oh my! Khalil Mack, he is unbelievable!
WGN Radio presents Hogan Johns.
Eddie Jackson, for the fifth time in his young career, has a touchdown.
With WGN's Adam Hogue.
Are you ready?
The one and only.
And from The Athletic, Adam Johns.
What's up, everybody?
Tearing it up.
Here they are, the Adams, Hogan Johns.
Touchdown, Bears.
What's up? Welcome in from beautiful Decatur, Illinois. Next to the lovely porta potties next to us.
There are three colors. There is a blue one, a pink one, and a green one.
We are here. We made it to the Decatur Civic Center. I've never been to Decatur. Not sure I'll ever be back here. They did present us with a lovely media packet, though, on the town.
Yeah.
When we checked in. But most importantly, we talked to the general manager and head coach of the Chicago Bears. What's up? It's Hogan Johns. On the road again, as training camp kind of unofficially, awkwardly starts today. Bears don't actually report to Bourbonnais until later this week.
So I was actually in Bourbonnais today.
I know. I have questions about that.
Why?
Well, first of all, I don't think you took the best route.
I took 57.
I think you're just itching to go to Bourbonnais so bad.
If
you left early this morning so you could stop at Steak and Shake in Bourbonnais.
I had actually never been to the Steak and Shake in Bourbonnais at all. This is the first time in my 6, 7, 8 years going to Bourbonnais.
The only time I've ever been to Steak and Shake in Bourbonnais was at a late night with Jason Goff and a Dan Bernstein.
No, that sounds right.
A long time ago.
Yeah, that sounds better than my experience, but okay. Yeah, so, a nasty storm. Did you hit that nasty storm coming
out? Yeah, there were a lot of storms.
There's a tornado behind me.
A tornado was, like, following you?
Yeah. Not like this. This is Wizard of Oz or anything like that. It was just listening to the local news reports on the AFM radio.
Were there actually tornadoes?
Yes.
No, there were not tornadoes on 55, okay. Which is the way you should have gone.
You take 55 home?
Probably.
Okay, I'm going to take 57.
Okay. Well, enjoy Bourbonnais. And then there's something like your car won't go over 70 miles an hour?
Oh, man, I've had a morning. Does anyone know how to fix a fuel injector down here, you think?
Is that what the problem is?
Yeah, I think so.
I definitely don't.
Okay. So wish me luck at home.
I did have to fix a flat tire over the weekend.
Oh, look, on my dad's car right now.
Yeah.
It's the last thing we need to experience in 57 going home.
John's asked me to follow him home, and I said, there's 0% chance I'm going 70 miles an hour home. So, Illinois State Troopers, be on the lookout.
Yes, be on the lookout for him, the bad teammate. They won't follow his teammate in need home.
You're going to be fine.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
If you get stuck in Bourbonnais, just stay there. You got to be there on Thursday anyway.
I know.
Welcome in. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, The Athletic, and The Athletic app. Please rate, review the podcast. Subscribe if you're not already subscribed. We always love picking up new listeners at the start of the season, which is what this is kind of for us. We started in Bourbonnais 5 years ago. Well, I don't know how many years ago. This is our fifth season of the podcast. Kind of getting underway right now as the yearly press conference, general manager, head coach. Maybe the last time we'll hear from the general manager.
This year I'll come
until
we'll hear from him again.
I don't know. Well, if he trades for Khalil Mack again.
Yes. Oh, he may do that.
But that's why this press conference today was important. And I don't know. I mean, there were some things in there that we'll get to. We'll play some of it for you. You're not going to play the whole thing. It's like 25 minutes. But we'll play you some chunks here. The biggest piece of news, I think, is that Ha-Ha Clinton Dix has a knee injury before camp even starts. Apparently suffered a knee sprain at the end of the offseason program, presumably veteran minicamp, and will likely start training camp on the PUP list.
What was Pace's exact phrasing of that? Short-lived?
Short-term. No offense, though. I still go back to the Kevin White thing, and I go, if a guy's starting on PUP,
John
it's not
Fox
great.
John Fox is gone.
I know.
John Fox was gone. Is gone.
It's not a good thing.
He's long gone. Fox is gone. I know what you're saying. Sound the alarm bells, but look, Jay Burton's not on it. Anthony Miller's not going to be on it. That's positive. Yes, yes. Yeah. I think the other guys were Jonathan Harris and TJ Clemens, not exactly starters. So Hognell Dix is the most notable name on that.
TJ Clemens has a chance to be a backup tackle on his team, though, so that's somewhat significant.
That's great. Okay, Rashad Coward's probably ahead of him on my depth chart, but I hear what you're saying.
Well, Clemens is coming off torn ACL that we already knew about, yes, so that's why he's still recovering.
Yes, but I get what you're saying, but at this point in the Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy era, I feel like their approach to injuries and situations like this is to be upfront and as honest as they can be without being a flat-out liar like John Fox was.
Well, in the past, they would say, well, we'll wait until the physicals are done. And instead, now, you know, thanks to Ryan for this, he said, well, we'll wait. There will be physicals this week, and there might be adjustments, but this is what we expect to happen. And they still haven't seen the players since the last time we saw them.
I think it was Aaron Lynch last year, like barely practiced in Bourbonnais, though. Was he on PUP? I can't remember. He got injured, right. Maybe he injured the first day of camp.
And we didn't see him like all of the
We just saw him on the bike, yeah. And then we saw him playing starting week one.
Yeah, that's right. I kind of forgot about that.
So to go back to the injuries, and let's talk about the preseason, because I know you want to talk about this too. A little bit. What Nagy said about the preseason is they want to be healthy for week one. They're going to be safer than sorry. That's what they're going to do. That's what they have done under Matt Nagy. And that's why you should not expect his starters to play in the preseason again this year.
Well, at all?
Okay, that third preseason game.
I was like,
but they barely played.
Yeah, no.
I mean, Trubisky had like 22 snaps last year.
Last year, barely played in the Hall of Fame game. Or did they not play
at
all?
They did not play in the Hall of Fame game.
They did not play in the Hall of Fame game. Played in the second,
I can't remember who the second one. It was five games. I know they played a little bit in Denver.
Then played a little bit in Denver.
And that was it.
And then got held out of the Chiefs game, which was supposed to be the big one. And that was specifically brought up in the questioning.
Yes.
You know, that game.
Do you remember the outcry last year about the snaps for the players in the preseason?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's huge. You and I were on this podcast defending the whole thing.
Yes.
And basically the same attitude that Nagy brought up again today. We care more about week one than we do about week two or three of the preseason.
Yes.
And I think that's the right attitude.
And teams scale back so much in the preseason that these reps, these snaps, some of them are completely meaningless. It's just another snap to get hurt on.
Oh, trust me. I remember if they lost week one to the Packers. If only Mitch Trubisky had had more snaps in the preseason, maybe they would have won this game. Come on. No, I think it's the biggest thing for this team is to stay healthy.
Yes.
Because the roster, we've talked about it, it's good, and the only thing that's going to change that is if guys get hurt.
You're right. Pace said that today.
Yeah.
Here in the Decatur, what is it, Decatur Civic Center?
I believe so.
Yes, that's what he said in that building right there. So it's true. They're going into camp. We talked about this last week when we previewed the offense and defense. There's no overly intriguing competition battles, roster battles for starting spots. All the starters are in place. Haha, Clinton Dix is hurt, I know, but like, it's set. For the first time covering this team, I could say it's set heading into the training camp and preseason.
It is. It's definitely the most set that we've seen it, I think.
Yes, absolutely. This goes back to 2012. It's probably the most set we've seen things. I mean, think of all the upheaval since then. Trestman, Emery, and then Ryan Pace and John Fox decide to clean house. This is the, in terms of intact starters, most important players in most important positions, the Bears finally have it in place.
Yeah. I mean, what were the other headlines? There weren't a whole lot of big things. There was a lot of talk about the kickers today.
Everything's on the table.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it has been.
That's the big takeaway again today, and Ryan Pace is speaking openly about this. Now, we have not heard him comment. We've heard Nagy say a lot about the kickers since the draft, but Pace hasn't talked about it, hasn't spoken since they traded for Eddie Pinheiro. And he said, look, we feel good about the two young guys we have, but it's an open competition, and we're continuing to look at the waiver wire. I mean, that is a pretty clear statement in that they're not done looking for kickers, and this thing's far from settled.
Yes.
Which is how it should be, because they haven't looked that good so far.
Well, neither Pinheiro or Fry has really done enough, been consistent enough, we should say, to secure that position. They've been the best of the guys they've had through Halas Hall.
Yeah.
But look, they've already tried the old guy approach. Sure, they could maybe find a Matt Bryant. Is a Matt Bryant still a free agent?
I believe he is.
Yeah, so look, whatever. Cairo Santos is still out there on another team. He could be cut. You want to take another run at him?
And Carlos.
Yes, Carlos Santos is...
Always available.
Yes, always available. Look...
Actually, never available. Yeah.
There's plenty of Carlos Santoses in the world, Adam.
It's true.
Yes. If everything's on the table...
Maybe
Carlos Santos actually comes through. You know, you never know. But, look, I'm just saying that it's... If this carries into the regular season, it's a huge problem. Right now, it's still not that for me because there's so many moving pieces to it still. I should say there's different scenarios where you could find a guy that's cut by another team and bring him in. Who's to say he's better than Pinheiro and Fry? Maybe these guys are successful in the preseason, but let's see what happens down in Bourbon A, man.
All right, let's play some of this from the press conference. A lot of it in the early part is about the kickers. We don't really like to talk about the kickers that much, so we'll let them do that. And there's some other things in here, too. So we'll play a good chunk. It's not the whole press conference. I don't think it's necessary to play the whole thing. But here's a good chunk. Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy today. Indicator as training camp is about to get underway.
All right, guys. Hey, welcome, everyone, to Decatur. We're happy to kick off our season at the birthplace of our franchise. We have a special season ahead of us as we head into our 100-year anniversary, and it's an honor to be starting it right here. As I reflect back on the offseason, I want to credit our coaches and our scouts for a successful offseason. I also want to credit our players for the hard work they continue to put in. We know we have a lot of hard work ahead of us as we head into training camp. We feel we have the right people in place, and we're excited to get started. So with that, we'll be happy to take any questions.
Brian, how would you handicap the kicker competition as you guys exit spring? All the information you gathered there to write, how'd you handicap it?
It's, you know, hey, we're excited about the two young guys we have. It's still open for competition. Those guys are going to battle it out. Obviously, we're scouring the waiver wire as we go forward, and it's kind of open competition as we go forward.
As you come out of the spring, or came out of the spring, what did you like about Eddie? What did you like about Elliott?
So Eddie's got real natural leg talent. So he's got a strong leg. It's just developing consistency as he goes forward. He's a young kicker. Elliott, a little different. Elliott's got a pretty consistent stroke. As he gets stronger, you know, he had a year away from football. As he gets stronger, we anticipate some of that leg strength is improving as well.
Right, specifically. How do you keep tabs on kickers elsewhere in the league in this next stretch in training camp in August? And what are the specifics that go into that?
Yeah, Dan, and obviously there's a hyper-focus on kickers, but it applies to any position. Sure. So our pro scouts, you know, led by Josh Lucas and Champ Kelly, they're watching that. And we're watching all the teams, all the competitive situations around the league. One of them will be kicker. And we're just watching that progress as we go forward. We know right now where we stand, where some of those battles are occurring. We're watching those, and I'm sure there'll be ones that'll pop up that might surprise us.
Brian, you guys had opportunities if you wanted to go get a veteran or somebody could have. What was your appetite in spending either draft capital on a trade or money? How limited were you on the money side just from the fact that you're paying Cody what you're paying?
Yeah, the draft works out, you know, the way it works out. You know, we're going to take the best players available, and sometimes it aligns a certain way and sometimes it doesn't. I can say as we reflect back on it, we're happy with our offseason. We're happy with our free agency and with our draft. And our goal now is to develop these young guys. And I think, you know, we can point to a lot of teams around the league that have kickers in successful situations that have come a number of ways. And some of them are this way. So ideal for our franchise, we hit on a young kicker long term, and we'll march forward that way.
Right. Who has ever afforded a, say, $10.5 million over 2 years fully guaranteed?
That's hypothetical.
Who had the better spring out of these two guys? Like, who is the leader entering camp?
It's Rich. To be honest, it's even. It's close. You know, so that's why, you know, we're excited about that battle going into training camp, along with a lot of other battles. But obviously, we'll be watching that one.
Man, have you thought about how this might unfold in preseason game? Like, are we going to see situations where you might kick up third down or something? Is that
We're not going to kick on third down, but if we have a situation where, I mean, we need to figure out this position, right? We need to understand, and it's a crucial spot for us that we got to get right. And I think the more opportunities that you have for these guys to prove who they are and what they can do, we'll take them. So there may be, you know, there may be some questionable play calls in the preseason. So I'll just leave it at that, and then we'll go from there.
Are you scouring the waiver wire because there's a particular guy or two you're looking for, or is it just because you still want more competition?
For that position or in general? There's situations we've identified already that we can tell where it'll be tight, and we're watching it based on college grades or pro grades. But in general, we're watching every situation because sometimes these guys pop out of nowhere as well. So this preseason is going to be important for what we have going on here. And it's no different than any position on our team, but what we have going on here, but also watching all the other rosters around the league.
Would it be on the table, too, to potentially trade a future draft pick or a player to acquire one of those kickers?
I think everything's on the table to make sure we get that right.
Ryan, teams that have made the jump you guys did last year, some have sustained it, but others have fallen. What gives you the best hope that you'll be able to sustain what you've got and you won't fall into that trap like Jacksonville did?
Our culture that we have established, and you know, starting with Coach Nagy and what he's doing, and the type of players we have in our locker room and our entire staff. So I think culture is what sustains success.
Ryan, piggybacking off that, as you pull into Bourbonnais this week and reflect upon the elements of that culture that were established last season, what are the biggest ones that you see that are in place this year that came together last year?
I just think how close we are as a team. I mean, these guys are all great teammates. They're all passionate about football. They're all highly competitive. It's just a really close, tight-knit group. No egos. And I think that all comes together and all gels together to what we have going right now.
Ryan, go back to the kicker for a second. We haven't talked to you since Jamie was added as the consultant. What have you liked about his part in the process, and what can you do for him as you have to make a final decision here?
Rich, we have a lot of respect for Jamie, specifically the technical aspect that he brings. He has a lot of experience with that position. And I think as we develop young kickers and we're talking about the technical part of their game, developing that's going to be critical, and Jamie's really good at that.
Did you have any sense for how he's helped these guys, even just from his arrival to now? You know, there hasn't been game situations, but you guys are obviously collecting data.
It's just the details of honing in technique, no different than a golf swing or a quarterback. And they're just honing it in. And sometimes you might change a couple things that are going to be better long term, but it might affect the kicker a little bit right now as he works through some of those kinks. But they're better off if they can stick with this technique.
Have you been in touch with or keeping tabs on any of your guys the last 5 weeks, or are there restrictions on that?
No, you can reach out, just see how the guys are doing, just about life in general, how's things going, you enjoying your time. And that's important. We told them in our last meeting, team meeting, just get away from football for a little bit, stay in shape, do what you need to do, and then when you come back, we're ready to roar. But, for the most part, I just try to – they get enough of us throughout the season, and you have your some of your guys that you reach out to.
Matt, is there any different feeling for you as you guys get ready to start up again compared to a year ago? Anything where you feel more comfortable or settled in?
I'd say the biggest thing is that I know – all 90 of these players versus last year. I was getting to a point to where I knew who they were, mainly on offense, not on defense. But as the year went on, I know these guys' backgrounds personally, and you get to let them know that you care about who they are as a person. And so you build that relationship. And then the X's and O's part, you guys remember last year at this time, the big question was, how do you get Mitch to learn this offense? And, you're not playing him a lot in the preseason. He doesn't get reps. And so, and that is a small part of it. But building the library of plays, now Chuck comes in on defense with his new stuff. And so for me, things have slowed down, which makes things easier. But I know the hot buttons on all of our players. I know how to reach them, and they know mine too.
Do you anticipate Trey Burton will be ready for the start of camp?
Yeah, we anticipate him ready to go. We'll be smart with those guys and how we ramp them in like we always are. But we expect to go into this training camp pretty healthy state. Just getting ahead of it, guys, probably and we'll see how these physicals go as long as there's no surprises. But probably three guys we might start off on PUP, and they're all going to be more short-term, we expect. So that'd be TJ Clemmings, just coming off the ACL. Jonathan Harris has a slight hamstring. And then Ha-Ha Clinton Dix has a knee sprain that he sustained right at the end of our offseason program. So we're just going to be smart as we ramp those guys back up. So don't be surprised if we start them on PUP.
So you don't expect Hall or Burton to be on PUP?
No, we don't, Hub. We expect to get those guys going. We'll see when they get here. But just to be honest with you, we expect to get those guys out there and just be smart on how we build them in.
Ryan, it's a sprain on Ha-Ha.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Miller.
Same thing. Yep.
Yeah.
Will you be doing anything
There is, yeah. We have a slight change to some of our installation times. And you're always trying to adapt and take feedback from players and coaches and how you do things. First year, last year, I stuck to a schedule that I knew for a lot of years. And so we'll have some slight changes to when we're installing a little bit earlier and flipping our walkthrough, which would be a little bit later. But and then the other part too is we shut down about an hour earlier, which I think will be crucial for the guys to be together and get more sleep.
Matt, from the head chair, what do you identify as some of your biggest tasks or challenges in trying to retain the culture and make sure that success doesn't change the focus, change the ego, change the dynamics that helps you guys have
this? Right. So, Dan, just like anything that's new, there's that honeymoon stage, and everyone's excited because it's new. And everything that we taught last year as coaches for the first time, it was the first time they were hearing it. So it's new. Now it becomes the second time they hear it. And so where I think the good coaches separate from average coaches is you need to be able to have a good pulse on your players, have a good feel for what they're really taking in. So don't be monotonous in what you do. Change things up. Let them have more say. Make sure that they understand that everything that we did last year means nothing. What it did is it helped our culture, but it means zero for the 2019 season. So we talked about it. Don't get complacent. Remember the hurt. And then that's my job to make sure that the coaches are doing that I'm doing it, Ryan's doing it, we're all doing it together. And then the players, ultimately, we talked about leaders create leaders. The more leaders we can get within our players this year, they hear it coming from their own peers, than me, the better off we'll be.
All right, so there's a little bit of from Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy today, and yeah, I think some other interesting things that were said today probably had to do more about individual players. I found it interesting that you guys didn't hear this part, but right at the end of the press conference, Pace singled out Leonard Floyd as the one non-rookie player, you know, taking the rookies out of it, who stood out the most in the offseason program. He said Leonard Floyd did. I thought that was interesting.
I think we're at the point where Leonard Floyd just has to show it. I feel like we've written this before.
I think it's taken longer than people
want. Okay, no, that's
but
fair.
But he's still improving.
Yes,
it's not at a, you know, the arrow's not directly up. It's just sort of, you know, coasting along at like a 20-degree angle.
Okay, no, that's fair. I've said it. I've written it. I think he's a late bloomer. I think he can get better. But again, it's a storyline that it's been repetitive. At this point in Leonard Floyd's career, this will be his, what, fourth season? Fourth season, correct?
Yeah.
It's time to just show it. That's really it. That's really all there is to say. Yes, he's improving. Yes, he's stronger. Yes, I think having Khalil Mack to offset a lot of things, to help him with a lot of things, is immensely important. But
well, and it helped the narrative.
Yes.
Because last season, Leonard Floyd's season, that gets looked at completely differently if Khalil Mack's not there.
Absolutely.
I mean, because then he's supposed to be the number one pass rusher, and there's not a whole lot of depth behind him.
Yeah.
Instead, he all of a sudden falls down to number two behind perhaps the best pass rusher in the league.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, and that's a good thing for him because he was not ready to be number one guy.
No.
And
no.
Probably still.
You know, he may never be a number one guy. You took a swing on a guy at number nine because he was probably the most athletic, most intriguing pass rusher in a draft that was very thin for them a few years ago. So you moved up, you took a swing on him. Can't fault you for that. I get it. But at this point, it's prove it, show it time. And you know what? I think it's coming to the reality. Maybe this is fans, media, analysts, pundits, whatever. It's accepting that maybe he won't be ever a number one guy. But he could still be a pretty darn good player. He was a darn good player last year. Good against the run. He changed a lot of, you know, to use scout terms, you know, launch points. Yes, he's not getting home. He's not getting the sacks that Mac did, but he's still a pretty darn good player. Will that make him a number one pass rusher in the league? No, probably not. He may not be that. But he could still be a very effective, very solid, a very darn good player in this league. I think he is already.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, if you want to go back to the question, was he worth the number nine overall pick trading up for him? You know, that's a different question. I think for where this team is right now, for needing a number two guy behind Khalil Mack to win a Super Bowl this season, you could do a lot worse than Leonard Floyd. A lot worse than Leonard Floyd. So And I still do think he's getting better. I still think he has untapped potential. So, you know, he is one of the more intriguing players, I think, to look at this year. I have another question for you, though, before we keep talking about football. What are you listening to right now in your headphones?
Absolutely nothing.
Because your headphones are in your ear, and I just, like, it's normal for me doing radio shows to see somebody wearing headphones, but your headphones are not actually connected to anything right now.
They are connected to my recorder in my pocket here. I just... That's a habit, I guess.
You could be doing like some amazing multitasking right now. You're actually listening back to Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy right now while talking
as we can converse about it. Yes, we got some skill here. All right, is it making you uncomfortable?
No, it's not. It's just.
Oh, you're louder now. What happened?
You took the earplugs out. I hear that a lot. Some people need earplugs to be able to hear me.
No, okay.
Which doesn't really make any sense, but
if you say so, boss.
Yeah. Your guy, David Montgomery, too, was somebody discussed today.
Yeah.
They're very pleased with him so far, noting the offseason program that you've raved about, too.
Don't think he's been good in the offseason program?
No, he has, but with every running back, I need to see him in pads. And even then, I want to see him in games.
That's fair.
So the one interesting thing is we talked about reps. Matt Nagy did say that David Montgomery is somebody who should get a lot of reps in the preseason.
Yes.
Now, if he balls out in the first two preseason games, I could see them pulling him back right away.
Right. I could definitely see that happening. He plays in the third quarter in the second preseason game, then you don't see him again for the rest of the preseason.
But at least going into that first and second week of the preseason, that's somebody that, you know, at least be fun to watch in otherwise mostly boring preseason
games. Yes, yes. But even he's going to be fun to watch in Bourbonnais. I think fans, if you're coming down there, again, he is nothing like Jordan Howard. I think that's what stood out to me because we saw, what, 2-3 years of Jordan Howard and what he was. But then you see what David Montgomery can do as a pass catcher, running routes that were never on Jordan Howard's plate. Just different. That stood out to me. It's a whole new dimension for this offense. You know, you could run Tariq Cohen out there as much as you want. But David Montgomery, who could be a true number one back, gives you a bit more. Right, he could be your every down guy.
Well, and that's
really can't.
One thing I will caution fans at the same time, because we saw this last year in the preseason. While he's going to get touches, Matt Nagy's not going to use him exotically at all in the preseason. Remember, like Tariq Cohen last year, like he hardly touched him in the preseason.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it's he's somebody that's going to be interesting to watch in Bourbonnais and in.
I mean, Matt Nagy could,
games, but it's not going to be that interesting.
He could have an exceptional camp that Matt Nagy probably goes, yep, we're not showing a single thing about him.
Yeah.
They feel that strongly about him. He could be one of those guys. Like, do you remember 2 years ago when Cohen was kept a secret?
Yeah. And that was by...
It was Dow Loggins.
Yeah.
My guy Dow.
I'll give him credit for that. They did a good job.
Yes.
Well, they did unleash him a little bit against the Cardinals in that preseason game, and then, like, he had, like, two incredibly good runs, and then they immediately were like, okay.
You're out. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, but that was just as a running back.
Yeah, I know.
They didn't line him up anywhere. That completely changed in the first 2 weeks. Everybody saw what he could be.
A lot of talk about the tight ends today, too.
Did you hear what he said about Bradley Soule?
Yeah, he brought
him up. Brought him up.
Yeah, he keeps doing that.
That is a sign, Adam, of the handshake deal they have. I'm telling
you. It's got to be.
Yes.
It's got to be. The other thing is he had some incredibly good things to say, Matt Nagy, that is, about Allen Robinson. He said he's one of the best players he's ever been around, just in terms of work ethic. And that's a guy that just goes about his work every day.
Just very
as
professional.
A professional.
Yeah. Even dealing with us, just very professional. We'll talk to us about 15 minutes at a time every day we want.
Yep.
Just very professional in his approach. And he, you know what? He's healthy now. He's not coming off a torn ACL like he was last year.
And there was a little bit of talk about that today, too. That Ryan Pace said you could just tell he's like a little bit more crispness in his routes. I don't know if that's the exact word to use, but a little bit more of a spring and a step.
Yeah, a little bit more assertive the way he's going to play. So, again, another positive sign. To go back to what we said in the first 10 minutes of this podcast, as the Decatur Civic Center empties after, a meet and greet with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, their own?
There was another panel they had at the Bears 100.
Yes, so as their panel empties and the wind picks up down here, health is everything. It's really it. It is everything for this team right now.
And that, it's kind of a boring August, late July storyline, but it's going to be One of the biggest ones, which is why, like, I don't mean to make a huge deal about haha Clint Dix starting on Puck, but that's kind of a big deal
know,
for it, right
it's
now.
It's better than storing. Well, you know, why does Mike Glennon look so darn bad? Remember that? You were all over that from the get go. Like first day of minicamp, you're like, oh, Mitch Trubisky's
well,
better.
Even just like he was so bad. It was just that number 10 was obviously a lot better.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yes.
Arm strength.
At, Mark Sanchez had that one great day actually in camp where he was like 100% completion percentage. Remember that? It was just on fire. Now you forgot about that.
If you were keeping track of Mark Sanchez's completion percentage in Bourbonnais, I feel sorry
for
you.
I just remember tweeting it like, oh, Mark Sanchez is like on fire.
Perfect day.
He's on fire. You know what's had a perfect day at training camp one day last year? It's Cody Parkey. I bring this up every podcast.
Yeah.
Something to keep in mind, everybody.
Perfect playoff game.
Our perfect season.
All right. Anything?
You gonna play George? Should play George?
Oh yeah. George McCaskey talked today. I don't know if we need to play it, but some of the conversation. First of all, at least the tweet of mine that got the most interaction on anything today, Chance the Rapper, is going to be performing at that Grant Park concert.
How about George with the Chance the Snapper?
Reference,
yeah.
Oh, you know George loved that alligator story.
Yeah. Poor alligator Bob. I feel bad for that guy.
I don't. Like I said, you got to perform. If you don't...
I'm actually, you know, kind of disappointed in you. You should have... He perfectly set you up for... George is Alligator Bob, like the Cody Parkey of alligator catching.
People are on board with that, man.
Yes, I know. He set you up for it. He set you up for it, my friend.
Other than that, and by the way, that is the NFL kickoff. That's an NFL event that's going on in Grant Park on September 5th leading up to the Bears-Packer game. There's actually going to be a watch party there. There's still not necessarily details. I don't even know if George was supposed to tell us about Chance the Rapper because I don't think that's been out there. I haven't
seen that. George is known to drop a few nuggets here or there. He's allowed to.
The chairman
of the Bears.
I think he's allowed to, yeah. Since he's the guy that signs off on
everything.
What could be out there, yeah. He can take that liberty. In the meantime, though, the only other thing that was big news, because you could tell he actually wanted to talk more about Decatur. At one point, he even asked, do we have any questions from a local reporter?
Yeah, he cut me off. It's okay.
Really don't like talking to you.
No, you're not Pat Finley. No, I'm not Pat Finley. I like what they're doing. You know, what more is there to say about it, though? In 100 years, a return to Decatur. They're giving back. I think there was a donation here yesterday. Alex Brown. Lance Briggs was here today, wasn't he?
Yep.
So it's good. It's far from Chicago. It's really far from Chicago in a sense. But, yeah, give back to the place that gave birth to your team. Why not?
The one, like, sort of newsy thing that came from George was all this talk last week about the 18-game schedule. George, what I thought was interesting about his answer was he says, we haven't talked about this in a long time. Like in league meetings. So, yeah, it's something that might be coming up in the CBA. But if they're not even talking about it in league meetings, then I can't imagine they're that serious about it going into the CBA talks.
Yeah, and he said the utmost priority there is player health and safety.
Right.
Two more games in this violent game. The NFLPA has to be on board, and that means less preseason games. It means a lot of changes to the CBA.
Well, this is a different topic, but... I've said this before. This issue actually isn't that complicated because there is a way to extend the season with more television revenue, which is already the thing that's driving everything, and protect player health and safety. In fact, improve it. And that answer is very, very simple. You add a bye week. You add a bye week. Every team gets two bye weeks. That extends the season one more week for the NFL. They get one more week of Thursday night football, Sunday night football, Monday night football. They get all of those TV ratings because there's still going to be games.
You should work for the league.
It's not that complicated. I don't understand like why this. Everyone keeps bringing up the 18-game schedule. The players don't want it. It doesn't make sense for player health and safety. Players are just there's just going to be more injuries, and no one wants that because everybody wants to see the best players playing in these games. You add a bye week, and everyone's healthier, more rested, and you get your extra television revenue. It's not that hard. I think I just broke the table.
You literally did. Wow, you've been working out.
I just snapped this picnic table in half.
Somebody's been working out,
and I don't know what that is sitting there on the table.
It's probably a sign we should go.
It looks like it's an onion.
I think it's an onion. It's blue, though.
It's a blue grilled onion. This is this is one of the more interesting podcasts we've ever done.
Yes.
At a half-broken picnic table with an onion next to some porta-potties.
Multicolored porta-potties.
Well, I mean, porta-potties usually come in colors.
Pink? Have you ever seen a pink porta-potty before?
No. I'm not, and I'm definitely not using it either. I could tell you that right now. All right, so here's the game plan. Bears report on Thursday.
We'll be there.
We'll have another podcast for you later in the week. First practice is Friday. And then Matt Nagy confirmed that the first padded practice will be Sunday.
Correct.
Because you got to have a couple days without pads before legal to have pads. So Sunday is the first padded practice. We'll be there for all of it. Players are in Bourbonnais on Thursday. I think rookies are actually there.
I think rookies and quarterbacks are there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Monday.
And the Bears are already actually in Bourbonnais. They took a bus here this morning from Bourbonnais to Decatur. That had to have been a thrilling ride through central Illinois. And now they'll go back. Maybe stop at the Steak and Shake.
That I had lunch at.
How was it?
It was good.
Okay. I do need to find somewhere.
I couldn't see out my window, man.
I do have to find somewhere to eat on the way home. I'll leave you with this tweet if I can find it. Because remember how you solicited...
Recommendations.
This is coming from Chris on Twitter. Late notice, but I'm from the area near Decatur. Don't bother eating there.
I think that's just mean.
I know. But he says you can go to Champaign for a good hibachi place.
Ooh, I like hibachi.
I like the hibachi place in Bourbonnais.
Yeah,
I would go there. I will go there. Jeff Dickerson loves the hibachi.
Yes, he does.
All right. We need to get on the road, head back to Chicago. This was actually a cool kind of experience.
Yeah.
See a new place in Illinois. We'll be in Bourbonnais, which is a very similar place as Decatur, but we're used to it a little bit more. And I am actually looking forward to football.
I like Bourbonnais. Again.
I'm ready to go.
Why don't you talk bad about Bourbonnais? It's
growing on me. I'm not talking bad about Bourbonnais. And I'm not talking bad about football starting up again. I'm excited for practices. I'm excited for things to talk about. Hopefully, not so much about the kickers, but that's up to the kickers to fix that storyline. And so we'll be continuing to watch that for you guys. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. We got a few days of freedom before going back down there. Read us at WGMRadio.com/Bears, The Athletic, The Athletic app. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. Any final words?
No. Wish me luck getting home.
You should have the Bears truck. It's right over there. Follow you.
Put my car right on. Someone they got space.
Yeah, they could just take you there.
Yes, there we go.
They can take you there. All right. Hopefully Johns makes it back to Chicago. Now, just because I'm doing this, I'm going to be the one that blows out his tire on the way home, probably.
You better knock it out. Just don't break the table again.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Take a picture of that.
Talk to you in Bourbonnais.